Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:10 now. If you are having any issues with water, you're welcome to text us at 504-260-1870. I'm getting a text from somebody who has some water problems and they're trying to logic their way out of the problem, and I don't think you can do that because it's physics. Two neighbors have water. They say this makes no sense at all because all this night and a.m. water's been dripping from three separate faucets, three different areas of the house. And somebody texted in and said two things. One, just dripping a faucet overnight. If everybody drips or runs their water all night, the pressure will drop and so will those drips. Somebody else said a pencil-edged stream is faster than just a drip. If pipes are exposed and the temperature goes below 25 degrees, the pipes will freeze faster than just at 30 degrees, especially if it's windy. And again, I think we got to all remember this is a once-in-130-year weather event. The city got 10 inches of snow. We're not used to dealing with any of that, followed by two nights of freezing, hard freeze temperatures. And our mindset is normally it snows, and then the next day we get up and the temperature rises, snow melts, it's a mess. But, okay, that's over with. That's not going to be the case here. And with the highways and everything else, you're really talking about two more days until this event is completely over, Wednesday and Thursday, and opening of all major highways and so forth. And then I hate to tell you, but some of y'all are going to have plumbing issues. I'm just a messenger here that you didn't anticipate because of the hard freeze that happens every time we have these hard freezes in the area. Unfortunately, that can lead to water pressure drops. That can lead to fires with people trying to heat their homes. And that brings us to Brian Adams, Louisiana State Fire Marshal. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. I would have never thought we'd see this, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and that's what people need to realize. Brian, you're the Louisiana State Fire Marshal. Try to put it in perspective for people, please, because everybody wants to get right back to normal. And as I said earlier, I do think that our mindset, and you grew up here as well as I did, it snows, all right, then the next day you go out and play a little bit, and it melts, and it's a mess, and then it's over with. But this is different. This is, I called it almost like a Category 5 hurricane, but of winter weather. Not to make a comparison between this and a Cat 5 at all, but when it comes to winter events, this is a bigger deal than just a casual snowfall.
Yeah, it is, Tommy. I mean, look, the roads are still iced over. You know, y'all just reported how many highways and interstates are still closed. The snow is starting to melt a little. It melted a little overnight. You know, you're going to get black ice on the roads. Mm-hmm. So, look, we just continue to ask people stay home. I know it's tough to stay indoors, but get out there and play in the snow again today. And, look, I wanted to just take a minute to say that we've been very fortunate over the last 2 days. We've had no fire-related fatalities, man. So I really think we're getting our message out with this home heating safety stuff that we've been pushing for weeks now. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to go over those precautions
again. Please, please, please.
Yeah, so space heaters, 3 to 5 feet away from any combustibles in a house. That's bedspreads, curtains, furniture. You know, put it on a hard surface floor. Don't put it on a rug. Plug in those heating appliances directly into the wall. Don't use power strips or extension cords. Power strips and extension cords are not made to host those devices. Don't use your stove or your oven to heat your home. It's not made for that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a gas stove. That gas stove could create carbon monoxide, which we all know is a silent killer. Don't overfill your fireplaces. Look, if you use candles at night because you're out of power, make sure you put the candles out and make sure that those space heaters are not left unattended. Check your smoke alarm before you go to bed. Always check that smoke alarm. And look, our Operation Save a Life program, once we get past this, we're going to start pushing that program really hard again. We've got a lot of smoke alarms we like to give out to the public. We do that through all of our fire service partners. We've got about 200 fire departments across the state that participate with us. You call your local fire department, and we will come install a smoke alarm in your home free of charge.
I don't want anybody to have frozen pipes. I don't want anybody to panic. I don't want one problem to compound the other. And since 6 o'clock, Brian, I've been saying, we got to, now what we have to do, considering it snowed, and like you're saying, get out today, play in it. Don't drive around unless you absolutely positively have to. Few things are going to be open anyway. And if you want to take a tour, walk. Take a nice walk in the winter weather and enjoy the snow and play and all that stuff. But my concern is, as this event continues, frozen pipes start to happen, or in advance of pipes freezing, people hear about frozen pipes, so they start running more and more water, and as a result, the pressure drops, and you guys have trouble fighting fire should they break out. So one thing kind of compounds the other, right?
Yeah, we do. And look, we recommend not to run it, but we understand that with the amount of houses and homes that we have in this region that are above ground, we understand that you have to do it, run a little bit of water. I know that in our region down here, Tommy, that we've placed water tankers all over this area to make sure that if we get a home fire, we've got adequate water. Those trucks carry a bunch of water. You're going to have, infrastructure issues with broken pipes all over Jefferson, Orleans Parish. We know that. You just got to sit and wait. You're going to have to wait till the pipes thaw out, and then we'll figure those things out. In the meantime, I think our local fire service is prepared, and they're ready to do what they have to.
If when it comes to heating the home and fireplaces, talk about the fireplace if it hasn't been cleaned in a while, because I know they had one fire, maybe two, that broke out because of that. Mine hadn't been cleaned in a while, and as a result of that, I did have it cleaned and used it successfully. But people, again, whenever you get to doing something involving heat or electricity or gas or fire or something that you don't normally do, that's where you got to stop and take a second and a breath and think, wait a minute, this is a good idea or not.
Yeah, over the years of using those fireplaces, soot and build up inside of the chute going up. So you want to make sure that annually you probably get that thing checked. Make sure the damper's open. Don't overfill it. Don't put more in it than you need to. Put an adequate amount. It's not going to heat anymore just because you put more logs in it. So just be careful with that. Again, make sure the damper's open and make sure that you just keep an eye on it and don't leave it unattended at night. You go to bed, put it out.
I think we've been very lucky so far, knock wood, with the, and you well know, Brian, as a state fire marshal, what happens when the weather turns cold and people inadvertently killing themselves. Hopefully, everybody's paid attention to the advice we've been handing out, you've been handing out, and follows the instructions and stays safe throughout the end of this.
Yeah, we can only pray that the message is getting out, man. So we've had an extremely busy year up until this event. And it looks like because we've been pushing it so hard early in the year that the message is getting out, and just be careful.
Any final thoughts?
No, man, I just would never thought I'd seen this event. I mean, I know you and I have been around the West Bank in this region a long time, man. I would have never thought it.
Thanks, Brian Adams. I appreciate it. 9:17. Now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about frozen pipes, and we'll get an update from Plaquemines Parish Jerry Turlich in a moment. Talk about driving conditions in Plaquemines Parish, Belchase, etc. here on WWL. 9:23 now, Tommy Tucker. Paul LaGrange is going to join us in a little bit, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting, to talk about freezing pipes. This is going to be a two-day event. We're not out of this yet, even though the snow stopped falling and the sun is shining. But the below-freezing temperatures, there's going to be some roadway conditions that are going to cause problems. Also, I'm going to text somebody that says any reported water issues from St. Charles Parish had running water at 3 a.m., but at 7 a.m., no running water. Again, as we'll talk to Paul LaGrange about. If you have any questions about plumbing, piping, et cetera, text in right now at 504-260-1870. and we'll get ready for Paul. First, we wanted to check in with Jerry Turledge, Sheriff of Plaquemines Parish, see what's going on there. How you doing, Sheriff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right. I hadn't been home. I got some pictures from my neighbors. Quite the snowfall in Belchase, huh?
Hello, man. I haven't seen this. I've seen a little snowfall, I think, back in maybe 1978 was the last time we had a little bit of snowfall, like, but nowhere near like this.
Tell me what's going on with driving around a parish, Highway 23. You got two bridges. You got the drawbridge, which is the state that maintains it, as I understand it. Plenary is maintaining the new bridge that they built and are repairing. Then you got Woodland Highway. Take me through all of that, Sheriff.
Okay. Well, I'm about to go over the Belchase Bridge now. That is open. Well, we're very thankful. Venture Global came with their road graders last night. I know my chief and my major, actually, over the patrol division, they were following the graders as they were clearing some of the roadways. So very thankful for that. The bridge is open, coming in and out north and south on 23. So you can travel in and out the parish. I know we had a curfew, but we are suggesting that people limit their amount that they get on the highways because it is a little icy. A lot of us that are driving around have four-wheel drive, so we can navigate it a little easier.
What about 23? Is that Woodland Highway? It's 401, right? I got my numbers confused.
406.
406.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Tommy, I'm gonna get you the update on that.
But I think, Jerry, actually, as I asked the question, I don't know that that's going to lead you anywhere other than to a neighborhood because I think the Woodland Bridge is closed. So if you're going to go in and out of the
parish. Yeah, the Woodland Bridge is closed. 23 is open, so we're good there. You know, we look pretty good as far as getting out to parish. I have not gone down Woodland yet, and when I went. Yesterday it was closed, so I don't have the update on that one.
And what about heading south?
We good to go. The road grade has cleared it all the way down, so we're pretty good to go on Highway 23.
And how about the East Bank?
East Bank, it's navigable, but like I said, it's tough conditions to get on this icy roadway.
So don't do it. Don't do it unless you have
to. Don't do it unless you have to.
And thanks to Venture LNG for helping in out because they had some traffic concerns in the parish because of that, but they pitched in when you needed them. Any final thoughts, Sheriff?
No, I just want to give our residents, just give them an update that the bridge is open. That the most common question is, how is the Highway 23 bridge? Can we get in and out? And you can. We're going to give an update if we do decide to put a curfew on this evening, because we do expect the conditions to worsen, and we expect it to freeze over a little bit, and driving on black ice, very difficult. So we'll probably do a curfew again this evening.
All right, Sheriff, thank you. You can let us know as soon as that happens. We'll pass along Sheriff Jerry Turledge with Plaquemines Parish. Paul LaGrange joins us now, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, sir.
Did you have a nice day yesterday? You and the family get to play out in the snow at all or not?
Well, my oldest son, who is a firefighter, and his wife is an emergency room nurse, both got called into first responder duties. Mm-hmm. And I got notification from the power company. They lost power at their home yesterday morning. So that being said, they're on a water well. I had to go over there and drain the pipes before the water froze. So me playing in the snow was driving about 10 miles an hour down the road very carefully as I could to get to their house and drain water pipes in the freezing weather.
All right, let's get the frozen pipes because I'm getting texts from people, one in Slidell, one in St. Charles Parish, wanting to know if there's a problem. And look, I've lived here all my life, and I know how that scenario goes where you go to turn on the water and it doesn't work. And this happened to me on Saturday morning in Belchase. It happened to be because of a fire hydrant that was knocked over. So it had nothing to do with the weather, but my first thought was, wait a minute, it can't have frozen over. It's like 50 degrees, and it didn't. But I know that feeling is the point. When you turn the faucet on, you immediately hope that there's a problem with the main water systems.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're not hearing anything from any agency. Municipalities about problems with water distribution systems. So you take me from the get-go. What should people look for? What can they do as this freeze hopefully goes away a little bit at noon, but then comes back?
So here's the thing that you need to be very careful about is let's presume you have a pipe that's frozen, not allowing water to go through. Whether it's an ice obstruction or it's completely froze over, we don't know if that pipe has a breach in it or not. And we're not going to know that until the water starts to flow. So it's very, very important that we are extremely diligent in paying attention, listening for water running or dripping, and also our eyes walk around checking. So as temperatures are coming up, I want you to carefully go outside, and I know there's ice out there, so be very careful with the black ice, and walk around your home and see if there's any water that's running or dripping that should not be. Do the same thing on the inside of your home, inside the bathroom cabinets, the kitchen cabinets, behind your washing machine, and in places where you wouldn't normally think to go look. And in the event that you do have a pipe that's frozen and you would like to take some proactive action, you need to be very, very careful on what materials and tools you use to remove and melt that ice. Let me tell you the things not to use. Do not use a blowtorch. Do not use a paint stripper. Do not use type of flame, okay?
Or heat gun, like that's what a paint stripper is.
Or heat gun.
Is. Yeah, okay.
That's a paint stripper, a heat gun. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you for clarification.
That's right.
But you can use a hairdryer. And when you do use a hairdryer, I want you to not keep that hairdryer focused on one, hyper-focused on one spot. I would like you to move it. I don't have hair, so I don't have this problem. But when you have hair, you're drying your hair, you don't keep the hairdryer in one spot. You move it front to back and up and down, right? So
well,
you would keep passing over
the pipe. I
remember.
I have my memories, Paul, but yes, I know what you're saying. You keep moving it all over the place.
You keep moving all over the place. Yeah. It's the same thing when you're defrosting a pipe, right? And while you're doing that, the hot and the cold faucet that you're working on that's not allowing water to come through, and it could be maybe just the hot side or the cold side, but it doesn't have to be both. You want to have those faucet valves open so that when water starts to defrost and starts to move through that pipe, it has a place for it to go. And also, as you're heating the water, you don't want to trap it in that pipe. So leave those faucets open while you're slowly and methodically with a hair dryer, to go ahead and dry and melt that ice. Now, that being said, as the water starts to run, it may be that it also gets blocked with a chunk of ice. Mm-hmm. That's okay, and that's probably to be expected. Just continue to let the water run over that ice, and it will melt it, and also continue to use your hairdryer, and it will melt it. And once that is removed, just remember tonight when it freezes again, that's that faucet or that particular device you want to trickle water through so it doesn't get frozen again tonight.
You got to be patient with that hair dryer, right? It's not a blowtorch, and it's not going to work right away.
It's not. It does take some time to do that. The reason we're not using any type of torch, because at that point, particularly if you're blowing into an opening where the pipe comes out of your wall, you're going to catch your house on fire. And this is something that happens and happens often. Listen, our first responders have their hands full right now. We don't need to be catching your house on fire because you're trying to defrost a pipe. Now, if that pipe starts to leak, meaning there is a breach, as it's got a burst in it, right? Know where your main water valve is for the home. And at that point, you have to turn off your main water and drain the rest of the pipes that are not frozen so that you can prevent future pipes from bursting.
Say that again one more time, because this is a radio and people can't rewind like YouTube, and I want them to understand exactly what it is you just told them.
So in the event you start to defrost that pipe and you realize, oh, gosh, the pipe is broken. There's a breach in it. It's leaking water outside the pipe. You want to turn the main water valve for your house, the entire house water supply, off, and you want to drain the rest of your pipes from your house to prevent additional pipes from getting damaged with water that's in it. And it's going to freeze tonight. It's going to freeze again tomorrow. So you're trying to take a proactive step of, number one, not flooding your home because of a broken pipe. And number two, you're trying to reduce the amount of pipes from getting future damage that currently are okay.
When it comes to when the water comes on, and Dave Cohen brought this up, I think it's a good point. When if you do have a broken pipe, it's not going to resume as a trickle, right?
Well, initially, depending on how frozen the water is and where exactly what length of pipe is frozen, it certainly can start to trickle. But once it starts running, you can expect it to melt that ice, and it's going to be a flood of water coming out that pipe.
And everybody should know where the main valve is. For people that don't know, how do they find it?
If you know where your water meter is, which it may be covered with snow right now,
right.
So I'm hoping you know about where it is. You want to determine that from that water meter to the corner of your home or to the one of the sides of your house, the main water pipe is going to come up vertically on the outside face of your house, about knee height down. You need to find that, and there should be a valve right there to turn the whole water off to your house. If there isn't, you can always go find your water meter, take the cover off, and take an adjustable plug and close the main valve at the water meter.
For people that are waking up and are turning on the scenario that I described when we came on with, you know, they turn on the valve, they think automatically there's something wrong with the system. Explain what might have happened, or even though if they did have the water dripping, how the pipes could freeze, Paul, because I'm getting some people texting in. And look, it's human nature. I'm not criticizing, but you try to logic your way out of physics, and you can't do it, right?
Yeah, so a couple things have happened there. Either your pipe or portion or segment of your pipe was not protected with insulation, which, keep in mind, insulation is only going to buy you a few degrees and a few hours of time. Mm-hmm. Even though your pipes are completely insulated with the amount, I mean, we were 12 degrees on the North Shore last night. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up this morning, it was 12 degrees. So I can tell you that at 12 degrees, even though your pipes are fully insulated, and if you were not running your water, there's a good chance your pipes were frozen. The best thing to do is that once you remove that frozen ice and you get your pipes running again, both hot and cold, everywhere, interior and exterior of your house, all your faucets, then you want to drip run your water tonight. And you want to run the hot water. It's a fast drip. It's not a stream of water. It's not a gusher. It's really just a fast drip. I've done that at my house last night, and I haven't had any problems. Now, my house is split where I have water on the far left side of my house and water on the far right side of my house. So my water usage is not all clustered in one spot, it's separated. So I actually ran hot water, fast drip, at both the left-hand furthest faucet and the right-hand furthest faucet to make absolutely certain that we didn't get any frozen pipes. And that approach seems to work well. When I get up in the middle of the night, listen, I drink a lot of water during the day, and I get up probably at least once or twice a night to go to the bathroom. I'm going to flush the toilet. I'm going to go reach down to the hot side of the bathtub in that bathroom or that vanity sink hot side. I'm going to open up that faucet full blast for the minute or so I'm in that bathroom. And even if that's not one of the faucets I chose to let do a fast trip, I'm going to run it anyway because I want to get some water running through my pipes. And like I said, I'll do that once or twice a night.
If you're getting up twice a night, you already got water running through your pipes. I couldn't resist it, Paul. Look, it was just out there. No, but that's a good point. If you got to go to the bathroom during the night, just reach over to the bathtub, run some water, hot and cold, for what, a couple of minutes?
Yeah, just a minute or two or is fine. Hey, can I move on to a different topic?
Please.
And this is a very different topic we're not used to here in the South, and that's the amount of snow that's sitting on our roof right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the Scoot Show very briefly yesterday, and one of the questions was, hey, what about, do I need to be concerned about the weight of the snow on my roof? And the short answer was, yesterday, no, you don't, because it's light and it's powdery. But today, now that we have sunlight and we have warming temperatures, that powdery snow is going to start melting and it's going to start turning to ice. And wet snow or ice is 3.5 to 4.5 times heavier than powdered snow. So what I've been doing, even in the 15-degree weather I've been out in this morning, is I've been going around the outer perimeter of my home and removing the snow at the bottom 2 to 3 feet around the outer perimeter of my house. And also any snow that's in my gutters, I'm removing all the snow out of my gutters. Now, I have a single-story home. Let me be very, very clear here. I am not climbing on the roof. I'm standing on a ladder with a long handle reaching over to the edge of my roof and removing and dragging very carefully, not to damage my roof shingles, the snow off the edge of my roof. And I'm reaching in my gutters with gloves on, and I'm removing all the snow out of the gutter cans and out of the downspouts. Because when that snow starts to melt, I want to have a clear path for it to go. And if you leave the snow there, if you don't remove it, what's going to happen is the snow at the very edge is going to get full of ice, full of ice, full of ice. And as the snow up the upper part of the roof starts to melt and it starts running down the slope of that pitch roof, it's going to collect all of the edge of your roof. And you're going to get an abundant amount of weight at the outer perimeter of your roof. And it's not just a weight problem. It also could be a water leak problem when it starts to thaw tomorrow or the following day. So I'm being very proactive as much as I can. It's not a perfect thing. I'm just doing as much as I can where I can. And then after I remove it, I'm coming back with a leaf blower, and I'm blowing all the fine snow off the edge of my roof. And again, it's not perfect. It doesn't all come off. And I'm being very careful about that, too, because I don't want to damage my shingles with the leaf blower. So this is something I've never had to do before. I've read up on it, and this is what some of the folks do up north. You've probably seen those videos, Tommy, where they remove the snow off their roof and let it all slide down.
Right.
There's devices for that. I said, well, shucks, we had 7 inches of snow in the North Shore, in Covington at least. And that is a lot of snow. And I just want to be as proactive as I can to prevent future weight problems and also water leaks.
Two quick things, having cleaned the gutters when I had gutters that clogged with a leaf blower before, you want to make sure you blow in the right direction, not to damage the shingles. You want to, like, blow in the direction the water runs off, right? And secondly, when you're talking about scraping off with the roof, you're talking about with a broom, not a shovel, right?
Not a shovel. Yeah. It's not anything that's going to damage the granulars that's on the top of the asphalt shingles.
Because the last thing you whirl and whirl you want to do is cause yourself more damage. Real quick before we let you go, somebody texted in about a new first-time homeowner sprinkler system underground. Thoughts on that?
Well, my parents have an irrigation sprinkler system, and everything is in the ground, and all the heads are recessed in the ground. I wasn't worried about that portion of the pipe, but where I was worried about is where the irrigation system connects to the water meter. Mm-hmm. Their pipe and their sprinkler control head is above ground. So I covered that, wrapped it with sheets and then some additional insulation, and I put a an ice chest on top of it. and weighted it down. So if you protected that portion of your sprinkler system, that should be fine, because everything else in the ground should be okay. Our ground is not frozen. It has not been cold long enough or cold enough to make that happen.
Thank you, Paul. Very valuable information. I appreciate it. What's the website people can go to find out more?
LaGrangeConsulting.com.
Thank you, sir. Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting. We're talking to Brooke Laser, WWL Louisiana meteorologist. We come back at the latest on the weather and the likelihood of melting and so forth, and icing tonight. And interesting physics fact there from Paul that the wet snow is heavier, 3 to 4 times heavier than powder snow. I didn't realize that. I thought it was moisture, but apparently not. 9:43, Noel Norman joins us as we come back as well. 17 till 10, traffic now, WWL. All right, 9:49, Noel Norman just drove in. How's the drive?
Canal Street is an ice skating rink. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't have four-wheel drive, I have four-wheel drive, and you drive slow. If you're going over 5 miles an hour, you're going too fast. Serious ruts have developed there. Saw a couple of people sliding off the street, freaking out, quite frankly. One pulled over and stopped, and I went by that individual, and you can see, I mean, they were had a death grip on the steering wheel. If you don't know how to drive into stuff, you really shouldn't be out there at all.
And you and I were talking about this last night as Brooke Laser joins us now, WWL Louisiana forecaster. Brooke, you know, as locals, we're used to it snowing, and then we get out and we play in it, and then the next day it warms up and it melts. But people need to look at this as a different thing. I called it almost a Category 5 winter storm for us. And I know people in Milwaukee would laugh, but is that accurate in terms of aftermath and everything? Because after a severe hurricane, we don't just next day go back to business, right? And I think people need to look at this that way. Thoughts?
That's a great point. Yeah, it's not so much the down trees or what you would traditionally have from an ice storm, but we still have ice on the ground. I'll tell you, walking into work this morning, I stayed in the French Quarter. I almost busted it a few times, and it's just such a helpless feeling when your feet are underneath you and you can't quite find your balance. You got to engage your core. So that's just on foot. And then think about a vehicle, of course, potentially spinning, sliding, other vehicles around you can't control. So it's more so the unknown than anything else for me.
Was that a meteorological term, busted it? I almost busted it?
I don't know. I think I just came up with that.
I heard isobars and those kind of things. I've never heard of busting it before.
Just my personality.
There you go. Let's talk. And core. You know, you can tell she works out.
And core, yes. Core.
So let's talk about, seriously, with snow and sun and melting and freezing temperatures today and the likelihood of evaporation of whatever does melt, because if it doesn't melt, it's going to freeze tonight. That means black ice, right?
Right. So the high forecast for today is just 2 degrees above freezing, and our peak daytime heating window is usually around 3-4 o'clock, which means we just don't have a lot of time for this to all melt down. And when it does melt, a lot of times you've got inches of ice on the ground. So we are definitely going to be in a bit of a predicament for road conditions into tomorrow and potentially even Friday, Saturday. I think a lot of people are looking around and realizing, okay, this is the component of concern. It wasn't yesterday. We were not in danger, so to speak, but now it's just the implication on the back end.
You know, as you said that about the heating window when it gets the warmest, when it does melt, then that means there's not a lot of time for it to evaporate, because then the dew point goes up as it gets dark, right?
You got it. I'm always impressed by your meteorological knowledge, Tommy. Yeah. Exactly.
You're not impressed by Newell's meteorological knowledge, are you, bro?
No, not at all.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, he's got a lot of practical knowledge.
Yeah,
and
but he nailed me yesterday. He nailed me on a couple of things yesterday, so let's get him back. That's all right.
Okay. This is a competition. I gotcha.
Yeah.
It's all about jealousy.
Yes.
But, you know, Peyton and I were talking over the weekend, attempting to forecast.
Hey, go ahead, Peyton. Brooke, I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is just not something we're experts in, because we don't experience it so much. And I think that across the board should all the more make people want to just stay put if they have the option. Of course, we have to get to and from work in order to be on air. And we've had multiple employees get stuck. We've had to dig people out. It's just always a lot of potential problems to come if you put yourself in that situation and there isn't much response available. So something to think about before getting out there.
So today's Wednesday. We lose track of it because it's been a crazy week. Today's Wednesday. tomorrow's Thursday. We have two more days of this event before we come back. Would that accurate? No, would you go with that? You're a sheriff. You know these things. Would you say about two more days?
Yeah, I'm always curious what temperature it actually takes to really have an accelerated melt.
You know, Brooke?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say 40s. Once you get into the 40s, and that'll happen tomorrow, we'll definitely have some big improvements. The sunshine's also a huge help. So that's going to be beneficial today as well. You can feel the difference, of course, when you're in the shade on the sunny side of the street. It's far more pleasant. So that is going to help a good bit, but it's just going to be a gradual process as we are only topping out in the 30s.
I'll tell you one
thing. Once we get to tomorrow, I think it'll be better.
One thing you and Newell do have in common, Newell brought me some Masters stuff when he went to the Masters.
Oh.
Did you know Brooke worked in Augusta, Georgia?
No, I did not know that.
She's a big Masters fan. Isn't that right?
You know, I have a friend that was supposed to play the National yesterday, and that did not happen because it was dicey up there as well. So they've been dealing with all kinds of weather this year, too. It's been a whirlwind.
The National. Did you actually refer to it?
Yes.
Not Augusta. The National.
That's the inside.
Yeah, apparently so.
I don't know about that.
How is the course, Brooke? And I know this has nothing to do with anything, but you got inside knowledge. I know they were torn up by Francine, and they're kind of secretive. Do you know what the course looks like?
Yeah, it sounds like they truly ship trees in from Canada in order to replace a lot of the ones that fell, from what I've heard. And they should be up and running as normal. A few of the holes will be a little bit different this year. So I heard especially Amen Corner is going to be significantly different for play compared to its original state before Francine. But I think overall, for patrons, it will be a relatively traditional
experience.
She really
is an insider.
I'm telling you, the things you learn by asking the right questions. Brooke Laser, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Oh, y'all be safe.
You too. And so, again, a two-day aftermath of this event. Yesterday it snowed. And, again, our mindset is it's over the next day. No, two more days. We'll take a break. Come back.
What? You know, we're masters at talking about much to do about and
oh, we kill time
anything
like nobody else. Back in a flash to kill more time on WWL.